budgeting insurance, helping bring clients' finances together at letsmakeaplan.org.
Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Well, it was a historic week on Wall Street. I believe it was the first time in history that the stock markets were closed for 2 days because of the weather.
Yeah, it was truly was historic, and certainly well over a century since that happened. And you're right, there was only 3 trading days due to Hurricane Sandy. Markets were basically flat for the week, which really was not too bad. And volume was low as the New York City area still was kind of licking its wounds. Of course, the presidential and Senate elections are tomorrow, and there is a palpable sense on Wall Street that it's seeking welcome relief one way or the other. People can debate which candidate is good for investors, but the markets hate uncertainty more than anything, Wayne. The worst thing that we can foresee this week would be to have an undecided election that takes weeks to recount. That would not be good. Now, this is early November, which tells us by the calendar that we're heading into historically the best 6 months of the year, believe it or not, for stocks. November through April are usually the best 6 months. And Wayne, I noted two other interesting factoids of the week for you. Gold was down for the fourth consecutive week. What does that mean? It may mean the economy is actually looking better and people don't feel like they have to cling to gold. Also, it may mean the Fed may have to start changing its policies from all stimulus all the time, which had been helping gold. The other factoid of the week, Wayne, that might be interesting, a record was set last week in the bond market. I know it probably escaped a lot of people's attention, but, you know, we know interest rates are low, but Microsoft set the all-time record low for a 5-year bond. Get this, Wayne. Microsoft, a AAA-rated company, by the way, still, is paying 0.99% for 5-year bonds, and lest you think people just turn their nose up at it, oh, no. Investors gobbled these up quickly. They went fast.
Well, take a closer look for us at the October jobs report that came out Friday. As usual, some mixed results, but on the whole, an upbeat report.
I would agree with that. This is the last piece of economic data before tomorrow's election, of course. And by and large, as you say, the results were good. The 170,000-plus jobs gain were better than expected, but the rate did tick up to 7.9%. Now, the rate actually going up, ironically, may be a good sign, because that means that more people are starting to look for work again and feeling more optimistic. Now, wage growth was still fairly stagnant, but Wayne, I noted that the breadth of job gains was better, meaning that it wasn't all one sector or the government showing gains. Sure, that was showing good balance. Two other side notes along with this jobs report were that consumer confidence was up for the third consecutive month. This is interesting, the highest it's been since 2008. In addition, the ISM report, which measures manufacturing activity, was up a little more than expected. Wayne, I think that the general discussion is that several questions remain about unemployment situation in general. Number one, when will the numbers of long-term unemployed, and those are the people who have been out of work for 6 or 12 months or more, when will those numbers come down to a more manageable level? Those numbers are still too high. Second, when will the numbers of those quote-unquote underemployed come down? These are the people who have part-time work but no benefits, and they want to get back to full-time work. And also, will the job growth of about 150,000 jobs on average, which, you know, that's kind of about where we've been recently, will that be enough to lift us at a lower level recovery into a more robust one? Economists say we need about 250,000 jobs per month to really kick it into higher gear.
The recovery from Hurricane Sandy is estimated to cost up to $30 billion. Analyze that for us. Tell us what the impact of Sandy may mean to the economy, the business community, long run.
Sure, Wayne. Like all of us, we've all witnessed the human struggles over the past week, and our prayers continue to go out to those most affected by the storm. But the economic turmoil continues to be assessed. By early estimates, it appears that Sandy may be one of the costliest storms in U.S. history, behind only Katrina and Andrew, which is about 20 years ago. And Wayne, I've actually seen some projections going up to $50 billion in losses. Now, these are very early predictions and could go up along the way, especially as the loss of worker productivity mounts each week. Some analysts have already pointed out that recovery and rebuilding will happen faster than some believe, and actually may boost the local economies of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut more than expected. For example, Wayne, remember last year's devastating tsunami and earthquake in Japan?
Right.
Well, the recovery, the economy there was doing much better after only 6 months. Now, listen, no one is suggesting that hurricanes are good for business. The reality, though, is that a lot of business activity, it doesn't actually get canceled. It just gets delayed and can happen at a later date. So there is some optimism there. But, Wayne, the initial predictions are that Sandy will not have too much of an impact on the overall U.S. GDP, despite hitting the the very busy New York metropolitan area. It's estimated it may only take about 0.2 or 0.3% from U.S. GDP in the next quarter or two. Now, looking at individual sectors, investors were betting last week that lumber companies and those involved in construction and industrial solutions were going to go up. Utilities and commercial insurance companies were initially down when the market reopened on Wednesday because investors were, frankly, unsure how long the power delays would be and how much the insured losses these companies would incur. But overall, Wayne, I'd say in general that the recovery will begin probably faster and progress along quicker than most people would expect.
Okay. Well, as you've often said, Wall Street hates uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So after tomorrow, presumably not long after tomorrow, we will know the outcome of this very contentious, very close presidential election.
Then we'll have a sense of what the lame duck Congress will do over the next 60 days and what they may or may not be able to accomplish.
Yes. So by next Monday, we'll have more to talk about on that and know what to expect as we go along.
Very likely, very likely.
Okay. Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management, who joins us Monday mornings at this time on WCVE's Morning Edition.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. When voters